enough, so you know it's got so. Radio, radio, turn it up.
This is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre Hudson Catskill.
Tune in at 7 p.m. May 4th on the radio at WGXC for a brand new show from host George Spencer. The show is called Art 4A, and debut episodes, George Spencer speaks with Jeffrey Leppendorf, the executive director of the Flowchart Foundation in Hudson, and Aaron Sickler, the gallery manager of the Esther Massery Gallery at the College of St. Rose in Albany. Tune in at 7 p.m. for the brand new show from George Spencer on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tammy Dillon of Germantown, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Support comes from support for
United Airlines. United provides
support for NPR
in cities like Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C.
Underwriting today is provided
United Airlines,
by
Borders, Books, and Music,
Jutus, Juice Bar Blend, and by Whitney Farms, producers of a complete line of
public
radio.com.
United provides just another way. National Business Radio is rising. National Public Radio.
National
Business Radio
comes from
United Airlines,
Borders, Books, and Music,
Jutus, Juice Bar Blend.
United provides just another way. National Business Radio is rising.
Public Radio.
National Public Radio.
Nonstop
Business
Radio.com.
Public Radio.
Nonstop Business.
Underwriting today is provided by Inktomi. That's Inktomi Scaling.
National Public Radio.
And INKTOMI.com.
National Public Radio.
National Public Radio.
Nonstop Business
Radio.com.
Public Radio.
National Public Radio.
Nonstop
Business
Radio.com.
Public Radio.com.
Soil Amendments and Mulches.com.
National Public Radio.
Public Radio.
Nonstop Business
Radio.com.
Public Radio.
Well, lots of pretty good news there. Thanks, Joe. That report brought to you by
NationalBusinessRadio.com.
WGXC helps you sleep at night and stay awake in the daytime. Whether at work or play, in good times and in bad, no matter the weather, community radio brings you local news, agricultural information, music and sounds, oratory, and radio stews.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
You're tuning in for Tongue in Cheek with Timmy Simmons, Emma McCormick Goodhart, and Aaron Lehman.
What's the governor's name? What's the mayor's name? What is the lawyer's name? What is the doctor's name? What is the state's name? What is the hospital's name? What is the virus's name? What is the country's name? What is the county name? What is the state border's name? What is the speech therapist's name? What is the computer's name? What is the synthesizer's name? What is the background noise name? What is the bed frame name? What is the Walmart name? What is the SUV name? What is the equalizer name? What is the backwards?
Basically, all at once, I realized everybody started calling it Do the Live and Learn. You know, like, you see, like, a viral dance or something, and everyone's like, do this, you know, do that. And then when you, I started, you know, calling people, and they'd answer the phone, and they'd say, oh, did you do the Live and Learn? And I'd say, come again. And they said, did you do the Live and Learn? And I say, yeah, you know, I'm going to have to be thinking on my toes immediately and just say, yes, yes, I did. And they go, okay, you know, in order to know it, to confront you, say, now explain that to me. So I go immediately, okay, yes, to answer your question, I did the Live and Learn. And after that, these are the results. I don't have the time to go back and say, let me walk you through the steps of that. You know, if you're already confronting me with something like that in a sort of kind of weird way, then you can basically say, yeah, here's the results of doing it. I did the Live and Learn, therefore, I show you now what I did. Well, basically comparing stuff that I was doing in one place to another, including, you know, cleaning and so when I was home, telling my friend on the phone about that, they said, makes a lot of sense to me. And I said, okay. And the Live and Learn with it. You do it by just kind of just like doing it. So everybody got on it and they said, do the Live and Learn. Do the Macarena on stage at 6 years old. Do the Macarena on stage with four of them, the four of the most handsome ones on stage. And the voice coach is there doing weird stuff. You can't forget something like that. I won't.
Its mouth is closed and its navel is open, and it eats what its mother eats and drinks what its mother drinks, but produces no excrements. The infant is taught all the Torah from the beginning to end, for it is said, and he taught me and said unto me, let thy heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. As soon as it sees the light, an angel approaches, slaps it on its mouth, and causes it to forget all the Torah completely. Keeping it silent, left only with an imprint on the upper lip as it enters the world.
Welcome to Tongue in Cheek.
So yesterday, we explored how the body can make sound incidentally as incidental to movement, and how breath can be influenced by bodily movement rather than something that sort of exists independently of it. So today we're gonna do some vocal exercises that will further shape the breath and make sound as incidental to the body. So the first exercise is a glottal. And the glottis is the vocal cords and folds. English H is glottal, as in when it comes at the end of a word. So you say ha. The glottis is rapidly closing, creating a break.
Ha.
As well as uh-oh.
But so the H itself is not glottal. It's what's ending the
yes.
the air at the end.
Yes.
So just to interrupt for a second, yeah. You were bringing up yesterday.
Yes.
So this is really kind of like the glottis. The glottal is actually like a very clear break in controlling breath, if we're thinking about breath from yesterday.
Yeah. In English, it kind of gets lumped in with the H sound, but in many languages, it's actually a sound that's distinct unto itself. It's sort of just this very deep-throated stop that... I don't know if I can do it just by itself and have it be heard, but it's like... yeah.
But anatomically, the glottis is like a mouth within the mouth.
Yes, yes. It's a little opening. To explain the anatomy of the vocal cords, just like a little ring. I don't know how to describe it, but it's a series of folds and muscle that causes resonation, and glottal stop is just a sudden stop to those vibrations.
Sudden close.
Yeah.
Just to inform us, I pulled up the etymology. It's from Greek glottis, mouthpiece of a pipe.
Of a pipe.
Of a pipe.
Okay, so we were going to do some exercises with the glottal stop to sort of isolate its movement and to play with that a little bit. So, that is the... So that's the sound sort of at the end of uh-oh. So let's just begin with a series of uh-ohs.
Uh-oh. So uh-oh. Actually at the end of is when we're getting that
yes.
glottal stop?
Yes. So, okay, so, and it's often used sort of like in a situation with, where there are interjections and insecurities, trying to insert yourself into a conversation, like, if you've ever started a breath and suddenly stopped it, like, so it sort of represents a holding of tension and can make words and sentences begin very abruptly if you're sort of entering from a glottal stop or if you end them with a glottal stop. Anything can be stopped. You can sort of like, if you're vocalizing, if your vocal cords are vibrating, then you can terminate it immediately, and that sort of is count as a glottal stop, and you can begin from a glottal stop, and so they can bookend your words and phrases in that sense. Having sort of isolated that glottal stop, we're going to try exchanging glottals in words to something like a T or a D to show how a glottal stop can create a sort of abruptness to language and how you speak, and that if you switch to a T or a D sound, it creates a more flowing and rolling diction. Mm-hmm. So, just, taking the uh-oh, you replace the first H with a D, it would be something like ado, ado,
ado,
ado,
ado,
sensato,
ado,
ato,
ato. Oh.
Atto.
Atto.
Atto. Yeah, it's, just notice how, if you do that, the sound rolls off the tongue rather than, starting and stopping so abruptly. And, see if that releases a level of tension to stop
Atto.
Holding Atto. Your Atto. Glottis in that way.
Should we try alternating between uh-oh and uh-oh?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that.
Together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
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 Uh-oh. Wait, which one are we starting on? Let's start together.
Yeah. We can do
glottal?
Yeah. Start with the glottal.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Ado.
It might be desirable.
Okay, so just, you know, having played with that level of tension and creating a more flowing diction, let's do another exercise with phrase structure. So I'll say how it'll go, and all the steps, and then we can return to each and actually go through it. So say a sentence with a glottal stop at the start and end. Then say a sentence without a glottal stop at the start and without a glottal stop at the end. Then say a sentence with a glottal stop at the start but not the end. Then say a sentence with a glottal stop at the end and not the start. So basically, we're going to bookend a phrase with these glottal stops and then see what it sounds like if you put one at the beginning versus if you put one at the end. So what's a... I don't know. You guys want to do this together?
Yeah.
Sure.
Good. So let's just come up with a phrase.
Are you asking us to come up with a phrase?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll read the steps, but let's...
If it wasn't yesterday...
It will be tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, so first, say a sentence with the glottal stop at the start, and then... If it wasn't yesterday, then it will be tomorrow.
That's a glottal stop?
Yeah.
So you're actually like...
Yeah. So you're holding your glottis
nearly swallowing
the
before it gets produced.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so you're kind of holding it, the, you know, tension in your throat, and then sort of abruptly striking the first, emphasis, emphasis onto the first, part of your word in your phrase, and then ending it similarly, swallowing.
Can you say it again?
If it wasn't yesterday, then it will be tomorrow.
Cool.
So now say a sentence without a start, without a glottal stop at the start and without a glottal stop at the end. Sort of roll into the sentence and then let your breath carry you all the way through and roll out of it. So
the same way that the D and the T were softening...
Exactly.
Like literally letting more air out.
Well, don't worry about glottal stops in the middle of the sentence. I mean, I'm not sure if there are.
Then it will be tomorrow.
If it wasn't yesterday, then it will be tomorrow.
That seems pretty glottal, no?
If it wasn't yesterday, then it will be tomorrow.
Okay.
So yeah, yesterday we worked with tension in the rib cage and how much effort it takes to
keep air out.
Yeah, to keep air out. And it also takes a lot of effort, I think, to maintain this tension in your vocal cords, and it keeps you from breathing, if you notice. So if you can release the tension, it can kind of create a bit more softness in your breath. And, for people who hold the glottal stop a lot of the time, hold their glottals activated a lot of the time, it's hard to really take in much of a breath, and you kind of can notice, that you're winded.
Can we hear those two sentences next to each other?
Yes. So, if it wasn't today, then it will be tomorrow. If it wasn't today, then it will be tomorrow.
Is that the two sentences?
Sorry, I was doing the first one twice.
Okay.
I'm just sort of listening to it. If it wasn't today, then it will be tomorrow. And the second one is... If it wasn't today, then it will be tomorrow. So the third step of this exercise is we're going to say a sentence without a glottal stop at the start, but not the end. So, if it wasn't today, then it will be tomorrow. And then for the fourth one, the other way around, to say a glottal stop at the end, but not the start. If it wasn't today, then it will be tomorrow. I may have just done those backwards, actually. So, but you guys get it if you're listening. Okay.
It's another way to punctuate our speech with.
Yeah. So those.
So now you're going to bring us through.
Yes.
So we're essentially going to go through a set of phonemes of articulation today, right?
Yeah. So many of the sounds that your mouth can make in the English language. So that was a glottal, and that's an extremely important one. English is known as a very glottal language, so there are lots of starts and stops, and it can sound very abrupt, kind of harsh in that sense. So this is what's called a velar, and it's where the back of the tongue is pushed up against the soft palate, like in the English k or g, and Scottish ch, as in loch. And
Loch Bay. Loch Lomond.
So as an exercise to play with this sound, we were going to do what we've been calling an in-out K. So it's...
This is actually coming from a caller from yesterday, from
yes.
Jonathan Gordon.
Yes. Right? And Tim, do you want to leave
I can try.
One?
It's a hard one.
Yeah.
But so if we have the... I mean, do we want to think of where that K is coming from? Coming from?
K.
K.
Yeah.
So that's the soft palate. It's like the back of the top roof of your mouth.
Yes.
Kind of being gently kissed by the back of your tongue, right?
Yes.
K. Just almost like when you remake your bed and you like pull up the sheets, kind of let the
suction
wind under it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what your tongue's doing to the back of your palate.
If the glottal stop sort of holds back air or a sound at the back of your throat, this is holding back air and a sound that's just forward of the back of the throat at that soft palate.
Yeah.
So it's also a very restrictive sound.
Yeah. And actually, like, what's sort of, I mean, you said that there's some kind of social anxiety built into the glottal where you're kind of like... also, I think what was really wonderful for John to tell us about this exercise is that what you're actually doing for actors or for your vocal instrument is to relax your soft palate. Because, like I just did now, this kind of like swallowing of breath or this kind of tension that you hold in the back of your palate and the back of your tongue is something that ends up being sort of built into bad acting in some ways, right?
Yeah.
So you want to relax that so that your instrument is sort of like in tune, your vocal instrument is sort of in tune with your emotive relationships.
Exactly. And if you want to be able to emote better and seem more relaxed or more natural, then you don't want to be swallowing your language. You don't want to be holding it back at the back
right.
of your throat.
Mm-hmm. So this is this little like kind of hiccup in the back of your throat. So this exercise, if we can do it right, which we probably won't do right, but we're going to do our best, is coming from John Gordon and his teacher, Tom Jones, from Brown University. So let's see if we can try to do it
yeah.
right. So the sound is k, but it's an in-out, and it's really like k, 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 k.
Well, just to clarify, Tim means that we're saying the k noise on an exhalation and then trying to do it on an inhalation.
So once you... So you're actually just... like John said, you don't want to be hyperventilating. It's not like an in-out from your diaphragm, but it's an in-out just trying to isolate the back of your throat.
Yeah.
Just really just feel it in the back of your throat. It's quite exhausting.
Yeah, don't feel the breath in your torso for this one. Feel it just at the top of your throat.
Welcome to the vocal gym.
Yeah. So first just in out, we can just do. Don't think about the K sound so much. Think about what's happening in the back of your throat. The bed sheets. Okay, now that we have this in out, let's not pick up too much pace. But slowly we're gonna do what is it? Four times out.
Then four times in.
Then four times in.
Then three times out. And then three times
out. Oh, that's not right. Is it? Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's how he... I think that's how he let us through it. So four out.
No. It's four... Yeah, it's four out. Sorry, we're trying to remember this. It's four out, followed by four in.
Yes.
Four times. Then it's three out, three in.
Then two out, two in, and then one out, one in.
Right. But each of those are four times.
Do you want to set the pace?
I'll try. It's going to be too fast. Or it'd be too slow.
Okay.
Oh, let's keep a slow pace.
Yeah, we keep accelerating.
And then three. Oh, we were doing three before. Oh, dear.
All right.
Start again? Or should we keep going?
I think we should keep going. We have so much material.
Okay. So let's just go down to two.
That's hard.
That's a hard one. We needed John for that. All right, on to the next things.
So, back to
Aaron.
After this, so that was a velar noise. So this one is uvular, and it's similar. It's also sort of a restrictive sound that comes from the back of the throat. And the uvula is the hanging bit at the back of your throat. So try pushing the back of your tongue further back than for K. And it's kind of uncomfortable, like choking, until you get used to it. And then the Hebrew CH is usually uvular, so it would be like a ch.
Ch. Ch.
Ch.
Ch.
Ch.
Ch. Ch.
Ch. Ch.
You feel a strumming at the back of the throat.
Yeah.
Ch.
Ch. So after uvular.
Actually, before we move on, yeah. we have a caller.
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So today we have Morgan Garrett, who's a sound artist and a musician, calling in. He also has a background in speech-language pathology, working with children and adolescents, and also the adult geriatric population. He's calling in from California, so it's nice bright and early and a good time for vocal warm-ups for him, maybe more so than for us. And, we're going to put him on the line here.
Hello?
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Montez.
Hey, it sounds great. I'm on a walk right now, but I was able to tune in, and the exercises sound really fun. It's cool to hear y'all messing with your voice early in the morning.
Brilliant.
Thanks.
Thanks, Maggie. So Morgan, we had a couple questions for you. You can sort of bring us where you want, but just I wonder if you could explain in some basic way your interest or some kind of definition of how you think of speech language pathology, because it must be a kind of vague word for some people.
Yeah, I guess the way that I would describe it, speech language pathology, would be identifying, diagnosing, assessing, and treating various types of communication disorders or differences, which could include articulation disorders, speech disorders, language, voice, resonance, and even swallowing would fall under the guise of the expertise of a speech language pathologist. But, there's so many extremes to what could be considered like disordered speech or some sort of atypical speech. So really the discretion, I suppose, is on the therapist to be able to assess and treat disorders along like a spectrum of something from like a mild difference to something more severe that might take more intensive treatment and counseling, I suppose.
And like I said, you've worked with children and adolescents, also
yeah.
adults with geriatrics. What's the kind of environment that you've been working with people? I mean, you're working either in groups or individually. I know this is not super recent. But it's something that kind of goes along with your own musical and artistic
practice. Yeah, definitely. Professionally, I worked for about 11 months in a skilled nursing facility in Appalachia. So I was working with individuals with aphasia, which is something that can occur following like a stroke or some sort of traumatic brain event. Should be like the loss of language functioning. I've worked in a public school setting with children with various types of communication disorders, mostly speech articulation disorders, and children with like language developmental differences. I've worked in like a private clinic setting in my university, but professionally, it's been in a skilled nursing facility, mostly with children one-on-one, but occasionally in group settings.
And before we move on to talking, I mean, what I think we'd really love to hear is also your relationship to that work that you've done in relationship to your own music, which we'll hear later on the show.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
yeah, definitely.
Before that, I'm kind of curious if, you know, we've been walking, you've heard some of it, we walked through the, Aaron knows the terms better than I do, the glottal, the velar, the uvular, the...
Well, we haven't gone past the uvular yet.
Oh, we haven't gone past the uvular.
Yeah. Okay.
But we're going to do the palatal, the palato alveolar.
Bilabial.
All these different terms. I mean, are they
cool.
are they kind of within, like, with your work with somebody that's has aphasia, that's you know, trying to, I don't know if it's right to say reacquire or to readjust or reconnect,
normalize
problematically. I guess.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure.
Their vocal patterns or their speech patterns. I mean, there's a big social side to it also that I think is really fascinating, right?
I would imagine there's also a big neurological component to that sort of recovery. I mean, is that something that you work with? Do you get into the neurological side of speech?
I'm sorry, what was the question? It seems like there's a lot of cars driving around now. What was the...
Lots of cars and lots of questions.
Yeah.
I guess the question in some ways is... how you're working with those patients, like somebody that has aphasia, how you're is it something that you do almost like Feldenkrais would be like rehabituate vocal patterns by doing exercises, in order for someone to recognize that my mouth can make that sound.
Definitely. It's a combination of so many different approaches. I mean, just, you know, how y'all were kind of exploring, like, okay, well, this is how I'm making a glottal stop. I now understand, like, I have a better idea of how I'm using my voice and how I'm using my vocal cords to stop the air from, you know, exiting, and you're sort of manipulating your acoustic energy in certain ways. I guess really with any person with any sort of communication difficulty, it would kind of be a matter of like trying to familiarize them with what it is that they might be having difficulty with. Now, if this is someone that's approaching you with like, okay, I want my voice to sound different, so I have an idea of like what I'm trying to get out of this therapy is going to be different from, say, maybe working with a child in a school setting where you're, you know, you've done a standardized assessment and you have this list of specific speech sounds that you're trying to target to improve in their day-to-day communication. I think it's really a matter of trying to familiarize the individual with, you know, the anatomy and physiology of whatever it is that they're trying to express, whether that's like a speech sound or whether that's a unit of information being expressed with language, and trying to sort of explore those extremes. If it's, you know, hyper-articulating something, or if it's just a matter of like feeling where, how those articulators are being used, if it's like a matter of, okay, I'm trying to make a T sound. Well, first of all, it's, you know, if you're trying to work with a six-year-old child, you know, they might not even under, you're not going to be going up to them and saying like, oh, let's, you know, you have to place your, the blade on your alveolar ridge. But
right.
say, you know, a 25-year-old individual with some like higher level of education, that might be easier to explain that. And then maybe being able to sort of move along to exploring those extremes of intervention so that you can have an idea of like, okay, at a low level, what can I do to produce whatever it is I'm trying to make or express in like a really comfortable and sort of fluid way, but also it's understanding to what extreme I can produce this as well, so you kind of have an understanding like along a spectrum of, I don't know, what your capabilities are as a human in order to communicate.
Right. That's great.
Do you work with individuals, hard of hearing individuals or children, for instance, who have recently acquired hearing aids, who hear themselves differently or have different modes of hearing their own voices?
I haven't worked clinically or with anyone one-on-one in that sort of setting, but when I was in my graduate studies, it was a pretty small group of individuals. I can remember there were a few children that had come into our clinic with that sort of, some matter of like, recently acquiring hearing aids and trying to work on their speech production following that. But I don't have any specific, or any personal experience with that. But if there is, say, like a child that, let's see. No. Yeah, I guess I don't have any personal experience with that, no.
Can we switch quickly, just a way of rounding up the conversation, to hearing for a moment on how you see that work, if not directly, but maybe implied within your own musical work, your own artistic practice.
If I see you, I keep finding like more cars. Like, I can't get away
you
from
might
them.
Be hearing
like,
things.
I'm drawn to it.
I was just asking if you could speak a little bit about your music and if in relationship to how you've thought about the voice through doing speech-language pathology.
Yeah, I think it's the music is exploring the extremes of communication just through subtleties of sound production and performing as like a human being, a human vessel. Exploring the subtleties to like the extremes of volume and atypical like pitch productions and speech and sort of manipulating and processing percussion and human voice and I don't know.
Sort of like patterns.
Taking music and performance and just trying to explore spectrum of like what a human would be capable of doing to like a very like minimal and subtle degree to like a very like intense and sort of blown out degree, which I feel like in terms of the training that I have in speech language pathology, could kind of go hand in hand in a way. It's trying to understand what you are capable of doing to like a minimal and like efficient degree in terms of trying to like express information, but
right.
also taking that ability and trying to like really amplify that and explore ways in which that same information can be processed, even if it's distorted or if it's being adjusted in some way that is different from the standard means of communication.
Yeah. I mean, even like yesterday we were thinking about, this is maybe where we're going to wrap up, but we were thinking about, you know, how much speech we or how much breath we maybe waste on the in-breath. And we're not efficient on speaking on our in-breath. in the same way that we are on our out. But it's a, anyway, Emma?
We have a track by a British sound poet called Bob Cobbing that might be interesting for us to listen together while you're on the line with us.
Okay.
But he uses what might be called the pathological. This is very material. Bob. So.
Da da geki, da ha dai 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 do. Dai go to te, dai chukushu. Dai ja, dai jobu, dai joey, dai kiyu. Dai kiyushi, dai iri, dai riki, dai so. Dai sojo, dai yoku, dai udake. Daki shimeru, daki tomeru, damara seru, damari komu. Dambo, dambo kuro, dampingu. Damu, damu dan, dan cho, dan choko dango. Dango, danko, danko. Dan say, dan sen, dan yaku, dan yubu, dar ashiganai, dare, dar yoku, dar saku dasen, dasen dasu dasu. Dat sumo, dat suraku, de 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 bana, da da geki, da ha dai 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 do, da da geki, dango danko day.
Pot, pot, popuri, pot ala podrida, pot omar amagal, omar amagal, om popuri. Om alapodrida, ol alapodrida, ol omar amagal, ol popuri. Pop-pop-pop-a-catapetal,
Maggie?
Hello?
Hey. So we're gonna
hey there.
We're gonna do, hopefully if we have time later on, we're gonna do a turn taking exercise, which is something that you and I have spoken about in the past.
Okay.
Which is also a sort of social structure or a way of thinking about language and articulation within a social structure. But we're gonna say we're gonna say goodbye to you for now. I hope that you can keep listening.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you so much.
And we're gonna hear Morgan Garrett's music later on, so you can see how some of these things enmesh. Thanks, Morgan.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have fun.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yep. Bye.
So that Bob Cobbing is a good segue into alveolar and dental sounds, which are basically the sound of T and D and na and N. So there are a few different ways of doing it, that depend on the language. So with the alveolar, you place the tongue on the roof of your mouth to make those noises. And T, D, N. And that's how it's done in English. And it creates more of an abrupt stop. It contributes to this abruptness of English. In Spanish or French, you do the same noises by placing your tongue on the back of your teeth, which creates more of a rolling flow to it. So, t, d, n.
T, d, n.
It's not as restrictive, and it allows sort of a transition to the next sound much quicker, and it creates more of a flowing diction. So, that leads us into bilabials, which are the sounds made by pressing both your lips together. And it's also very restrictive. And
pen.
That's as in a P or a B or an M.
Mummy.
So as you say those, think about the
Papa.
Hard attack of the P. The pop.
Baba.
Pen. And then the swelling rise of the B. As breath builds up and escapes.
Bubble.
Bubble.
Bubble. Barbara.
Bloated.
Barbara.
Barbara.
And then the gentle M, which is just sort of this humming. It's not much of a containment as much as a resonation.
Mouth
closed. Mama.
Mama.
Memory.
It's actually quite a simple one. I mean, it's mama, papa.
And
it's just your lips.
Yeah, I wonder
some of the more elemental.
Exactly. I wonder if there's something
language box.
yeah, like very simple about those motions that contributes to the fact that, at least in our language, papa and mama seem to be some of the first ones. Or at least the sounds given to the words we're most likely to say first. And that leads us into the palatal, which is the flat, where the flat part of the tongue is against the hard palate, creating a Y-like flavor to the sound, as in like an English Y, like a Y, and then the Italian GL, like intaglio, or Spanish ñ. And all those sounds have the tongue press against the forward part of the palate where it's hard, just ahead of the soft palate. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yellow.
Niño. And a similar sound is the palatal alveolar, which is where the flat part of the tongue that you just used for that sound is touching behind the alveolar ridge. And that's as in like a sh or a ch or a j. And I'm just trying to think about how the tongue is positioned in that movement. Sh, ch, j. Shush. J, j. It's like air is sort of slightly contained, and then as the tongue moves down, it's allowed to pass over the tongue and the teeth, creating these this sort of fricative.
But it's literally palato alveolar?
Yeah, it's sort of like a compound motion between the palate and then the sort of front of the mouth, the alveolar ridge.
Which is right behind your top teeth.
The words that make up the Muslim call to prayer are the first words a newborn Muslim baby should hear. They are whispered into the right ear of the child by his or her father. The baby's first taste should be something sweet, so parents may chew a piece of date and rub the juice along the baby's gums. It was a practice carried out by the Prophet Muhammad and is believed to help tiny digestive systems to kick in.
So the labial dentals are sounds that would be similar to like a V or an F, where you put the front teeth into contact with the lower lip, and you either blow air through it to create this sort of friction, or you resonate again, as in a V, 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 or a F,
V,
F,
V,
F, and those are also
I can't forget that forever.
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 Forever. By 1948, women were being urged to practice vocal exercises in front of the mirror to ensure that words that begin with a V did not transfer to their lipstick to their teeth. The result was a pouting style of speech common to the film stars of the era.
So, the interdentals are sort of like moving out of these much more restrictive sounds into what's called a fricative, which is where the motion of the air over or around the tongue and through the teeth and the lips creates a sort of rushing sound. So an interdental is where you place the tongue between the lips, and as in a TH sound. And so it sounds like th, th, or the, th,
the,
the. So if you do that and focus on the feeling of the air passing over the tongue and the teeth, and how slight movements in the tongue up or down or forward and back sort of affect that flow, and how it affects the quality of that TH and what it feels like. Th, 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 th,
th,
th,
th,
th,
th, th. Language is there because we want to touch another. The infant invents a language. The parents learn it.
And then, so similar to that sort of sound is a lateral, which is like an L, where you, where the middle of the tongue is up against the roof of your mouth, L, and it blocks the flow of air, and the air passes around the edges of the tongue. So
You can think about the passage of air on different sides and let the tongue move up and down as you make that sound. And you can think about how that affects the flow of the air. Think about the air just moving around the sides of the tongue. Ella.
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 La, 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 la.
So move, put the tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth and see what it sounds like. And then try putting the middle or back of your tongue up against, you know, further back in your mouth and see how that affects the sound.
L.
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 L. L.
So the last one is a rounded. The last one that we've chosen. There are many more. But the lips are brought into a tight circle for this one at the same time as the sound is articulated. It's like a Scottish WH, could be considered a rounded H or a voiceless W. And an English QU might be thought of as a rounded K. So like a Q. Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
So the tongue
Q.
still comes up to the soft palate, but the lips are open and rounded. And that sort of forms this rounded K. That's part of a QU. Q.
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 Q. Q.
Cutie.
Q. Q.
There is a landscape in a Q.
Yes, there
Q.
is. There's a landscape in all of these. Mm. I hope something that you can sense as you move, as you go through these motions.
And tomorrow we're going to be also on these a bit, but focusing again on the movement of breath or the furrow of air.
In the most expanded of senses, that is. From non-human bodies as well.
Anybody got a match?
Schwitters spricht Teile seiner Sonate mit Urlauten. Derbebe, derbebe, fünfe, derbebe, fünfe, 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 Rinsaka the baby hints kermu, see whom sets you rinse kermu, racket baby. From Turk's talk, see whom sets you hints kermu, see whom sets you rinse kermu, racket baby, racket betsy. Fums bava tetsu, who tetsy baby fums. Oh, b, 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 b. Oh, tea, 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 tea. Oh, rinsakata bebe. Oh, mta, mta. Oh, langkatorgil.
I don't sweat, I have no odor. I inhale, don't exhale. No urine. I don't defecate, no excretions of any kind. I consume only oxygen, all foods, any form.
I see, hear. I don't speak, make no other sounds. You can't hear my heart, my footsteps. No expressions, no communication of any kind. An observer, a consumer, a user only. My body absorbs all communications, emotions, sucks up heat and cold. Super reptilian, soaking up all knowledge, compactor of all information. Not growing. I feel, don't touch. I have no control over the kinds and qualities of thoughts. I collect, I can't process. I can't react to or act on sensation. No emotional response to situations. There is no reaction of instinct to physical or mental threats. You can't reach me. You can't hurt me. I can suck you dry. You can't hurt me. You can't help me. Shuffle the pages. Find me a line. Arapaho. Arapaho. Where did you go? I blink my eyes to keep the time.
So, we wanted to talk a little bit about manners of articulation. As in the voiced or the voiceless. There are others, but these are the ones that interested us the most. So, when you voice many of these sounds that we've covered, the vocal cords and folds are vibrating, which causes the individual sound of one's voice. And so, if you can just to understand that, compare the English B or V or D or Z to when you go into a voiceless articulation of them, where your vocal cords then vibrate and you fall into a whisper. So it's like a B or a V or a D or a Z versus B, V, D, Z. So, yeah, in the voiceless, no vocal cord vibration occurs. And that's like, in French, it's like a P or a K or a T. Maybe one of our francophones here can do that.
Peut-être.
And that's also like an English F or an S, so...
So the, those
fuss,
are
fuss, fussy.
Those are not voiced.
Those are not voiced. Your vocal cords don't vibrate for those.
So it's just coming from the shape of your mouth. Is pa pa, or is that actually
pa?
Pause.
Well, it would be like a pa, 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 pa. Yeah, it's. I think pa, b, b,
b, b, b. That's you can hear.
Pa, pa. I think p is not voiced, but it seems like a b is slightly voiced, and then m is very voiced. So, we wanted to try and do an exercise with these.
I don't think we have time for an exercise with these.
I ran out of time.
But maybe whispers tomorrow or in the future.
Yeah.
You can try
whispering. Whisper all day.
Whisper all day.
That's the provocation. The whisper invites someone or something to come close.
Shit.